Jesus. I'd like to share something with you before we get into the message. My dad could pick up any instrument, and you've probably heard me say this. My dad could pick up any instrument and play it. He could take a guitar, because he was a carpenter, and he could make it. If you give him one, he could take it, and he would make a replica of it. And he gave me one as a kid. Big, I called it a big Gibson. It was bigger than me. Damn, it was a big guitar. I really loved that guitar. And I got me a book. On top of old Smokey. I was learning the best I could, trying to play that song, On Top of Old Smokey, just a little simple songs. And I was getting pretty decent. Pretty decent for me. You're talking about a kid that was in the second or third grade, first, second grade, I don't know the age. And Dad got drunk and came in, and he had one of them demon-possessed nights, and he came in and he started ranting and raving, and he took my guitar and busted it and threw it out on the front, on the yard, along with some other stuff. He just took it and busted it and threw it out there. As a kid, it broke me. It just broke me. You know, Dad made something. He didn't do a lot for me. Man, I was getting pretty decent. But God put me back together. Now, Samantha, this is for you, because I talked to Wayne 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I said, Wayne, does Samantha like to sing? I didn't know you. I didn't know Wayne personally. And because I just said, I didn't see this with my eyes, but I saw in my heart you singing with your father. See, I didn't have this opportunity. I had an opportunity, but the devil destroyed it. Dad, man, we could have, God in that, Tammy, our family could have been instant. All the gifts that we have could have brought glory to God. But the devil got in there. Daddy had a will, but he willed to just be in that world, be in that lifestyle, and the devil just fueled it. See, the devil don't have authority over you unless you give him. But Wayne talked about you love chorus. So this stage is available to you. We like to have special songs. I've sang, but I like to preach the word. Now, I might give a spiritual song, or I might sing in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and I might sing with the understanding sometimes. But I know there's songs in your heart. And I'm sure Wayne could even maybe play a song with you. But this is for you. This is your time. And this is not just picking on Samantha. Whatever God's gifted you to do, don't let the devil destroy it. And Wayne ain't tore up. I'm just saying this is what happened to me. And the devil was behind my dad because of things going wrong in his life. He just blamed it on the family. We were the reason for his failure. And that's not it. The devil is the reason for our failure. But it's when we yield ourselves to him. It's when we yield ourselves to him. So you get that song, girl, because we want to hear it. God has a bright future for every one of us. Just a little old song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This is bad English. Ain't going to let the devil blow it out. Bad English, but it's powerful. Don't let the devil, this little light of mine, Jesus is the light of the world. The devil couldn't blow him out. The devil couldn't stop Jesus from healing people. And he says, you are the light of the world. Jesus got faith in you. You are the light of the world. Now, you're a city set up on a hill in Concord, North Carolina. Amen. Don't look at, you've seen the numbers that our church is able to give. Hope Church is smaller than we are. But that don't stop God. It says he'll take the foolish things. Some people look, man, there's just a little old place over there. They'll send renowned speakers. God will send renowned speakers to these places to bring you a word from God that you've been needing or seeking. See, God, this is a church, we let God be God. Amen. Not everything to do that's good is good. It's from God. We got to do what God says to do. And he gives the increase. Amen. I think I got the wrong lighting situation. Let me do something here. Got the wrong one on, don't I, Leo? There we go. That's it. I like that situation better. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're not going to be a dark church. We just, there's certain lighting that's good for the cameras. Amen. And I'm not saying dark churches are bad. We just like to have the light on so we can see. Amen. So I'll make sure you awake out there. You're not sleeping on us. Unless you're about 98 years old, then you can maybe take a snooze like Miss Alicia. Anybody 98 yet? I don't think anybody. No, you're not. I got the church directory software at home. I know about how old people are in this church. I don't know much about you, but I know how old you are, your birthdays, your anniversaries. Cindy lets me know a little bit about you, not everything. Hey, but God is your everything. The more windows of opportunities, the more windows of your heart you open up to Him, He'll fill them. Amen. The devil wants to pull the shade, put the darkness in on your life. Jesus said, I want to be the light of your world. All you got to do is let Him in and the darkness will have to flee. Come on, you don't have to do these great things to get delivered, get set free from anything that the devil would have you in bondage to. Hey, y'all don't want me to start talking about me no more, do you? I could probably talk about me getting a Larry and be all right. I used to drink. I used to smoke. Now, see, these are just sins of the flesh that had dominion. I didn't used to smoke. I didn't used to drink. But Daddy smoked the pale males. That's without the filters, man. That's hard stuff. Pall Malls, pale males, whatever you want to call them. Well, you put things before a kid, guess what? That kid gets curious. Think about cats, man. They're curious about everything. So Daddy was smoking. Mama was smoking. Not all my kids, my siblings smoked. But I did. I'd jump out there and get that Pall Mall while nobody's looking. Try it again, you know. Why? It was before me. God wasn't his, you know, we wasn't going to church, so I didn't have nothing to fight the negative. I needed a positive to fight the negative. But thankfully, I got into work, got born again. I actually upgraded to filters. I smoked Marlboros and Winston Lights, but it was filtered. You know, Dad, he hit those Pall Malls and the moonshine and all the other stuff, and he died at about, let's see, Mom's 84. Dad died about 20-some years ago, so he was a young man. But I'm not saying he didn't know Jesus. See, all these things has nothing to know about. If you know about Jesus, life can begin. Life begins at conception. When you get born again, that's truly when you start living. And I smoked for many, many years, and I drank, but you know what? That's the old man. Jesus resurrected my body, and if I smoked, if I drank, it done damage, but Jesus said, I fix it. So I'm believing I'm fixed. Amen? See, this is what born-again people believe. I'm a new creation. That's the old man. I don't do those things no more. Now, God had to help me. The Word helped me. I kept seeking getting in the Word and studying the Word. And the only way you're going to get dirty old water out of a glass, you can pour it out. But the best thing is to fill it up with clean water and it'll purge. It'll purge the old out. See, when you fill yourself with God's Word and His love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, kindness. You start, see, that's God. That's love. That's who He is. You don't have to know all these things. You know Him and you spend time with Him in His presence, His fullness of joy. You start understanding who you are and He'll push all the old stuff out. Before you know it, man, you'll be walking. Remember the old, I love the old Christmas. Put one foot in front of the other. Remember the Burl Ives? I think it was Rudolph. Remember the old cartoons? See, it's one foot in front of the other. Next thing you know, you're walking out the door. If you give one part of your life to Jesus, give Him one part, then the next part, next thing you know, man, you're running. You're blessed. You're living the blessed life. Amen? I know not how. I know not how. It's when Christ, you put the Word in you, it brings forth. I know not how. That's the mystery of the Word of life, of Jesus. We're going to start talking about God's true nature. I didn't used to have His nature. Amen. I was dead. We all were born dead, spiritually, into this world. Spiritually dead, separated from God. Until I hear His Word. It don't have to be King James English until I just hear a testimony about God, Jesus. See, that separates. Jesus separates all the other gods. Amen. It's Jesus. He is the only true God. Amen. Jesus makes all the difference. The blood of Jesus. So don't let the devil, darkness, put out your light. God's true nature. I didn't even put down the scripture verse on this thing. I'll have to find it. But you'll know the word. It's in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. Jesus speaking here. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip, disciple, said, Lord, Master, Teacher, show us the Father. Uh-oh. And we'll be, it'll satisfy me, Lord. Show us the Father, Jesus, and it'll satisfy. Been walking with him about 3 years now with Jesus. Been doing miracles, turning water to wine, taking fish and multiplying them to fishes. I don't know, is fishes plural? Fed a lot of people. When a little kid had a little lunch, what was it? Two fish and five loaves? Or just had a little old bag lunch? Two fish and a loaf. And there was over 15,000 people that were hungry. Amen. Didn't have to go to Mr. C's and say, we need help. We got a lot of people hungry. No, Jesus said, I'll take what you got. The boy was willing to give it. Are you willing to give what's important to you? Come on, guys. Are you willing to give what's going to supply your need to Jesus so he can meet the needs of others? Come on now, we know the story. That boy didn't go home with one bag. Because at the end of that miracle, it says there was 12 baskets full of what was left over. And that little boy got blessed on the way home. I can see him. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Man, he had a bag and went home with a basket. I remember when I used to go trick-or-treating. And I went to my aunt's house on the ones that sang, they were the gospel singers. Going out, man, I love candy. Dennis will tell you, I loved candy. Because they worked on my mouth for many, many years. But we went out trick-or-treating. I had me a big bag. Wayne, if I say your name, it's because you're sitting on the front. I need to go over here. Todd, I had a big old bag. Because I pick on Wayne all the time. And we went trick-or-treating down that street. Me and my cousins. Man, people were giving. They were giving me candy. We called them a tote bag. That's back when you go to the grocery store, they give you a bag, not plastic. They give you, and mom would take that bag, and we go home, we cut taters and make French fries, and when they're done in the grease, we take the fries and we dump them in that tote bag and shake it and get the grease. Come on, y'all. I'm speaking to the older guys here. That we used the bag for more than one thing, amen? We cut the top, we shook it off, and then we had some French fries. What was I talking about? I was talking about what? What was I talking about, Wayne? Trick-or-treating. I had me a big old tote bag. Man, I don't remember what I was dressed up. Don't matter what I looked like. But my bag was about half full, Reed. And somebody came on a bicycle and snatched my bag. Took my bag. And took off with it. Now, my cousins, they all divvied out of their bags. And you know what? But that just, as a kid, man, that just destroyed me. Come and stole my bag. That's the devil. That's what he comes to do. This is the day. Think about that boy. I mean, he got blessed. See, God don't take nothing from you. He takes what you give him and he multiplies it back. But the devil, you have half a bag, he'll come and steal it from you. See, I didn't know God back then. That was hard for me to handle. But see, God always wants to multiply and overflow your bag. He don't take nothing, man. He just gives you. He's a giver. God the Father is a giver. This is his true nature. This is who he is. He is a giver. Amen? Amen. Just little things that just pop up that we need to share sometimes about how we can relate evil to good. Now see, that other person, they could have walked like I've been walking the streets, go around house to house. But see, that's the hard way. The easy way is just go get the one that's already got everything, steal it from them. See, that's the devil's way. But that's the path that leads to destruction. Now, if I was born again Christian back then, which I wasn't, I didn't know nothing about, I'd have prayed for that. Lord, I guess he needs it more than I do. Don't pray that his teeth rots out. Said, hey, that ain't what God would do. He wouldn't pray that the teeth rot out. He'd say, Lord, I guess he needed it more than I have. Lord, just bless him. Just bless him, Lord. And then God could... Back then, what I know now, kids, listen to what we're saying. Listen to what your elders are saying, amen. The ones that are serving God, you know, you know which ones they are. You know which, I didn't like mama's laws of the house when I was in the house. Pick up your socks, make your bed, brush your teeth, comb your hair. That's what mamas do. You can't change mama, amen. Mamas love you. Daddies love you. Amen. I had a loving mama. Dad had issues. I want to share this story. I don't know. We won't get far. This is the introduction today. Knowing that we're going to be talking about God's true nature. It's going to be tough, Wayne. It kind of touches my heart. Mom's 84. She's not getting out like she used to. She can't drive. Mom always drove. Christmas Day, Colette, we're the first house on the Santa list. She's coming to see what everybody's presents are. Well, she lost her license probably about 2 or 3 years ago because of her health issues, the medication she's on, you know, the body, the flesh profits little, but her spirit's alive. In other words, the body's coming down, you know. We're getting older, running out of fuel, but the inside, man, she's still a kid, man. She's on the inside. Remember last Sunday, that kid, Lord said, Pastor said, sit down, worship's over, sit down. He was up praising God, praising God. He wasn't done yet. He wasn't done worshiping yet. Pastor said, it's time, sit down. So the boy sat down, but on the inside, he said, I might be sitting down on the inside, but I'm standing on the outside. I might be sitting on the outside, but the little boy said, I'm praising God on the inside. Well, see, that's what we're all when we get older. We're still praising God. It's just our body's kind of hindering us sometimes. Amen. You just got to speak to that thing. Amen. Like Bob, he's just worshiping God over here. He's receiving from the Lord, worshiping the Father. But Mom, 84, and I go see her. We're in and out. I got nurses in the family. You know, she's at home now. She doesn't, no car. She can't drive. So, you know, you could think about, here's something you want to do, but you can't do. And you know what it can do if you're there by yourself. It can bring you down. So I could tell Mom was a little down. I'm the only one there. Kelsey and Sherry's at home. Rowan takes off with his, somebody calls him. They won't go feed him. They won't go eat. So he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm leaving you. We're going to go eat. We was getting ready to go eat. The adults were getting ready to go eat. But that's okay because he's got friends. Man, that's his life. You know, enjoy your life. You know, you're only going to be 15 once. I mean, when I say enjoy it, enjoy your life. Enjoy this world God's given you, the good things. And because you're going to remember. You're going to remember these things. And so I'm sitting over with Mom. And so Rowan, he takes off. Well, Sherry calls because she's getting hungry. And I got the vehicle. But they got another one. And I said, Mom, I'm over here visiting Mom. I said, what y'all want to do for supper? I was going to cook her something, cook Mom something. But I said, just whatever y'all decide, we'll bring her something back. And we get through all this craziness, we're going to take Mama back out, you know, because we're using wisdom. You know, Mom's got some health issues, so we're not pressing her. But that ain't stopping God. That ain't stopping God. So I'm sitting around talking to Mom, and I can tell she's a little down. We're talking about supper, and, you know, she's probably thinking, well, I'd like to go out and eat instead of coming back. I can just, you're thinking about things. You know Mom, you know she loved to go out and eat, have that blooming onion. See, she loves that blooming onion, so we went to Outback. So we saved Mom a good old healthy portion of that. But as we're sitting there, and she says, well, I hadn't got no car, and, you know, I've been, the other day I was just looking out the window, watching people go down the road, and I said, Mom, I said, you remember Papa used to do that? This is her dad. He had emphysema real bad when he got older, so he couldn't go to church. He couldn't go out. You know, it was hard for him to walk to the kitchen. But he'd sit in the kitchen, and he lives on a busy highway there in Mooresville. It's bigger now, 4-lane. But he'd sit there, and he'd watch the cars go by. I said, Mom, you remember Papa? I said, because she took care of her dad in his later years. She took me. She drug me with her. But what am I doing? I'm learning. I'm watching. See, I'm remembering this now. I'm watching Mama's honoring her father. And the Bible says if you honor your mother and your father, come on, kids, you'll have a long, blessed life. That's a promise. You don't have to like what Daddy's telling you, but honor him. You don't have to. I didn't like a lot of things Mama cooked. Well, she didn't cook a lot. Sorry, Mama. She don't have internet, so she can't watch this live stream. But I told her I was going to talk about her today, so this might all be about Mama today. That be all right? And I got to watch myself. I get on these tracks, like the 8-track. I'm kind of on track six, and I forgot what I was talking about. But anyway, here's Mama. She's getting down because all she can do is watch the traffic instead of be in the traffic talking about these people pulling out in front of her. But Mama didn't like that. You know, but she's missing it. She's missing driving. Mama drove all her life. Took me to football practice, picked me up, went to work, went to the grocery store. All things single moms do, loving their kids, loving God. So we're sitting there, and I remind her about Papa. See, because God, remember the Lord. Bring back to her remembrance something her dad did. Kind of lift her up. Mama needs to be lifted. She lifted me up plenty of times to spank me, to love me. If she could catch me, she had to catch me first. I was a runner, Leo. I'd run to the lake, but Mama was taller. I could only go so far in the lake. Mama didn't swim. We won't go down that story. But anyway, she's sitting there, and I said, Mom, remember Pawpaw? I said, he used to watch the squirrels come out there. Mom's watching squirrels come on her porch. All these things she saw her dad experience, she's now at that stage. But I said, Mom, I said, also, I remember in the Bible. Here we go, in the Word. See, because God, if you'll relate it to the Word, things can change. I said, I remember, Mom, there was a lady in the Bible. Her name's Ananias or something. I said, wait a minute, I'll get my Bible. I'll look it up. That she was an older lady, but she loved being at the temple. She loved being at the church. And she had a promise. And one day, they brought Jesus to a prophetess named Anna. Oh, gosh, I need to get to the scripture. Thank you. Kelsey, can you find it? Find me that scripture verse, because I want to read it from the board. Look, praise God. Did y'all have a Holy Ghost encounter back there? This is God. I didn't inform them. I didn't even give them the notes this morning. It says, there was a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, help me, Jesus, on that word, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. Now, the King James says she was very old. It might say it later. She was a great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. Now, Mom is a widow. She'd been married. Next verse, Luke 2. And she was a widow of about 84 years, but the Bible says she was 84, the verse I read. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Come on. Y'all help me here. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Now this might not be exactly where I read it. Come on down and see what it says. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Yeah, but as I read that, I read it and it said, and Anna was very old, and she stayed there in the temple, and Jesus was brought to her, and she got to see her redemption. She got to see Jesus. I said, Mom, it went on, it says she was 84. Mom's 84. And she was kind of getting depressed today because all she could do was see cars and traffic go up and down the lane. I said, Mom, I work, and I think it's on Poplar Tent, not all the time, but maybe once a week, ever so often, I'll pass by this church, and I can't tell you the name of it. You've probably seen this guy. He sits out in a chair, and he's got a sign. He says, you just got prayed for. I said, Mom, I said, here's a man that goes to church. He's getting older. He can't do a lot, but he sits out there, and every car that goes by, he prays for somebody. I said, Mom, when you see those cars, you're not out there driving, but you can pray. You can pray. And then I went to Anna. I told her that first. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I remember the Lord gave me this. I did not know it said in the Bible she was 84. Mom's 84. And when I read that, I paraphrased it. I said, and Anna was at the temple. I said, Mama was in her double wide, as her custom was. See, Mom can't get to church. She can't go out. So I'd been thinking there, Wayne, Lord, do I need to minister to her today? Do I need to minister something that I'm talking about? Because sometimes I do, and I'll take her. She'll give me some examples, and I'll preach it on Sunday. But today was her day. Today was her special encounter with God, his true nature, is I love Mama just as much as I love a baby. He's no respecter. And even though you can't go out and get in your car and go to church, that she wants to do, that does not change God's desire to bless you. Amen. Sitting at home 84, the devil's saying, you ain't got nothing to give anymore. God says, watch this. I'll use your youngest son to bring a scripture to. And she, you already seen the smile that came on her face. And she about laughed. At it. You know what she said? And I said, and here's mama. She's in a double wide. And as her custom was, and she was worshiping the Lord. And then she saw Jesus. I said, Mom, get a picture of Jesus. He's holding you in his arms. Amen, because he is grown now. He's not a baby anymore. Mama's not a baby either. And I said, and when I read the scripture that says, and Anna was very old, I said, Mom, I'm not speaking. I'm not calling you very old. And then I finished the rest of the story. But then I thought, I said, Mom, I got to repent. You're very old. I said, if the Bible says 84 is very old, I'm sorry, Mom, you very old. And she almost got out of that chair coming after me. She said, you better shut up. You know, Mama, she'd get a fly swatter, she'd chase you down. But you see how God turned the situation? His true nature is love. He's not looking at age, he's looking at your heart. And I said, Mom, don't think. I said, you pray for us. Pray for us at church. Pray for your kids. You're making a difference, Mom, because Jesus is hearing every prayer, and he's taking it, and he's working it. Amen? So, and you know, I pray, Mom, Jesus come when he gets out. I pray she makes it. But if not, you know what? Far better. I've done told you, I've seen Mom laying down in Jesus and waking up in Jesus, and that ain't at no nursing home. She don't want to go to no nursing home. She is at home, and she has two daughters that nurse her. She's at her nursing home, and she's home. And she's making a difference. Home is where you need to be, guys. Family is important. God instituted the family. Adam and Eve, and then came Cain and Abel. Amen? God hasn't changed. He loves you more than your family. More than what you do for him, concentrate on your family. Amen? Now, if you don't have a family, he'll be your family. Because I didn't have a dad, but he became my father. Amen? And I was able to witness my dad before he passed this earth. You know, I was thinking about, I was sitting there with Mom. She loves to use my phone. Mom doesn't have internet. She has cable to where she can watch Gunsmoke or soap operas. Gunsmoke. Bonanza, there you go. Thank you, Todd. You heard from the Holy Ghost, too. Black and white TV. I mean, no, you don't need to get Mama a smart TV because she ain't going to use it. You'll have to use it. Amen. Because I was thinking about bringing Mama some DVDs, and I don't like to sit there and let Mama watch me preach. I like to, Mama, here they are if you want to watch them after I leave, because I don't, you know, I'm my worst critic. Let me leave. But she's got to have somebody to operate that thing. And I don't want to be there operating and say, okay, Mom, here I am. Watch me. It just don't feel right. You know what I mean? But Mom don't need all of that. All she needs is the Word of God. That's all you need. And his presence. And he will come and he will reveal himself to you. He'll be real to you. He'll be real. That small, still voice. And then we brought Mama back of her blooming onion. Now, it was late because it takes a while now with this social distancing to get some food. My God. It's like Kelsey, if we'd have known all that, we would just order it to go and we would have went and ate with Mama. That's what we should have done. You know, just should have went. Come on, tell me. That's the rest of the story. Yeah, you didn't hear, Pastor. You should have went and ate with Mama. Next time. That's right, next time. Now, we'll believe when it gets cooler, we're going to go take Mama out, take her for a ride. Amen. I remember reading Todd out. She loves Matt Dillon Gunsmoke, and I looked it up. James Arnaz, for 20 years, was Matt Dillon. You know, it always starts like as I had to unbutton my coat, but, you know, he comes out there. Matt Dillon's always gets his man. He wins. He represents good. Amen. But that show was 20 years, 635 episodes. He never missed one. Now, he was in the military. He was in the United States Army. And he had an injury. I think he got shot in the foot or something, in his foot. But 10 years into that taping, Terry, he got real bad arthritis. Now, they didn't say where. Got real bad arthritis. Still didn't miss the rest 10 years. He just made them do the full taping for a day, and then the rest of the next two or three days, he would rest. Now, you're talking about somebody that just got up and was persistent Amen? Because he what? He enjoyed doing what he did. Bringing justice to Dodge City. I'm trying to think of Dodge City. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He went to a cross, suffered agony for how many hours on that cross? It's in the book. He could have opened his mouth. He could have called angels. You think Matt's bad? Jesus could have called legions of angels and wiped out the entire planet if he wanted to, but that wasn't his purpose. See, the disciples said, we're talking about God's true nature. What is his true nature? Love. Period. You want to know God? God is love. You want to know love? Love God. Amen? And you will experience love. You will have love. Amen? Love that passes understanding. I know not how. How do I love this person, Lord? Sometimes you just don't say nothing. You just don't say nothing. You're just there. You're just there. Just being there shows them that you love them. Amen? Just coming to mom shows I love them. I didn't have that with dad. When mom and dad, now I wasn't born again either. Come on, I'm a kid. I'm learning. I'm going through a divorce. You know, this ain't good. This thing, I mean, divorce is not good, but God is good. He loves you through all this stuff. Amen? He's not, the word says, he's against divorce. He knows it's not good, but he'll change it. He can make it into something beautiful. He's talking about your life. It don't end with divorce. Life ends if you don't have Jesus. Life never begins without Jesus. Amen? And I was going through all this stuff. And when mom, you know, dad never paid alimony. You know, his alimony was the bottle. And he was out of money. Come on, he was out of money. He was drinking it. It was all about him. So mom, she just struggled. I mean, she worked. Now mom, she's blessed. She's blessed, man. She's been to every state in the United States of America. When she got out of that divorce, because she was in bondage. You stay home, woman, you cook. This was just our lifestyle. There was no God there. There was no love there. And I'm talking about connecting our family together. But mom didn't leave. See, she had a love she didn't know how. She didn't know how she did it. She'll tell you now, she don't know how she did it, Tammy. But it was by the grace and the mercy of God that she did it. Why? People were praying. People that knew the true nature of God were praying for us. They couldn't maybe come over there because daddy was crazy. He'd shoot you. He'd fight you. And he went to prison for shooting a cop. I remember going, I told you maybe that story. Wednesday night Bible study. Sunday morning, Sundays we go visit daddy. I don't want to go. Sunday, man, kids, you're out of school. You want to play. Man, you don't want to go to a prison camp? What is that to a kid? See your dad come out in this white uniform. Mom, got to have cigarettes. Got to take him some cigarettes. Man, this a child, you should never have to experience these things. This was never God's intention, never his plan for families to be destroyed and for death to be in this earth. Never was his plan. This was not his nature. Never will be. And one day he's going to make it all right. All these little stories I'm telling you now, I won't even be able to think about them because he's going to wipe that tear away. But it'll help you today that I'm still standing. I'm still standing. After all these years. Why? Because Christ is standing for me. I'm in him. Amen. Now, if you get out of Christ, you can fall real quick. Amen. You don't want to get out of Christ. What does it mean to be out of Christ? When he says do something, you go the other way, you're getting a little bit further out. You know, that umbrella is pretty wide, right? I got me a big one. When it rains, because I ain't as little as I used to be. When it's raining, I like to have a big umbrella. But you go so far, if you keep walking, what happens? You're going to get wet. The umbrella's over. Jesus said, get back over here, boy. Get over here. Don't you get out there outside of my covenant. The devil's out there. Now, we talked about the rain coming down. The rain of his presence, of his spirit. He's on the inside of you. But he still gives you a choice to either stay in him or get further away. And what happens if you get out here? Christ is still in you, but you're putting yourself in the enemy's camp. And that ain't good. That's not good. God's nature is love. And if you want to experience that love, you just got to spend some time with love. Amen? Amen? That's God's true nature. Man, I still got plenty of time. I'm going to go back to gun smoke. But Matt Dillon, what? for 10 years, he fought against arthritis. And I'm sure he probably took some pain relief, Dohn's pills, whatever he could. But that man enjoyed what he was doing. And if you enjoy doing something, you'll do it even though you're hurting. Jesus enjoyed being the sin sacrifice. Jesus, it said, the Bible says, so you got to understand God. The Bible says that God took pleasure smiting his son. God took pleasure in killing Jesus. Why? He was after the family. He was after the devil. See, but Jesus had already, you understand, in the old covenant, before God even created mankind, Jesus said, I'll be the lamb. God knew everything that was going to happen before it happened, but still gave you the choice to let it happen or not. In other words, he's already provided every sacrifice, every atoning sacrifice, every blessing has been given to you, but it's up to you to receive it, to walk in it or walk out from it. He will not take that choice from you. That's God the Father. My kids, we raise our kids. You know, we go to church on Sunday. Our dad goes to church on Wednesday night. And as long as they can't feed themselves a certain age, I'm dragging them. Get in the car. No excuse. Get in the car. The law says you can't be at home by yourself. They lock mom and daddy up to a certain age. That's called child abuse. If you leave a kid in the car, the kid can't get out of the car. So they come to church. What are we doing? We're raising our kids in the admonition and nourishing of the Lord. This is what we do. Seeds are getting there. The word's getting there. And it's getting planted. It's going in. But one day, that child's got to make a choice. Is this what daddy did? What am I going to do? I can't make that choice for Rowan. I can't make it for Kelsey or Ruthie or Dallas. They have to make that choice. Amen. Now, once you make that choice for Jesus, you don't have to make that choice again. Every day you got to decide, I'm going to live for him. And I'm talking about you make the choice to get born again and come into the family. Then you get sealed, but every day the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming after your flesh. The devil's a flesh that he's coming out what he can see. He's trying to bring sickness, disease, poverty, trying to get mom depressed so her days will be numbered. Shorter than what God has known. Now, God says it's appointed a man wants to die. He didn't say when to die. He leaves that up to us. By the way, we live our lives, treat our bodies, treat our families. God don't put that day there. He just knows there's a day. There's appointed a man wants to die, and then the judgment. And if you're in Christ, you go to the judgment seat. It's not based on what you do. He has rewards. Your rewards are based on what you did for him. The rewards. The greatest reward is going to heaven and living for God forever. Living with him forever. You don't think, when my kids do good, I told Dallas to make us a tea time today. I haven't played golf in a long time. When we went on vacation, we went and done something. What's it called, Rowan? We went to this nice place. It's called a Top Golf. Is that what I said that right? Top Golf. Wayne, you hit the ball and the computer watches where it goes, how far it goes. Some don't go very far. If you don't see a 150 feet, yours just went a little bloop. It couldn't detect it. Kelsey had some of those. She's not a golfer, but she went because what? She loves family. The family goes, we all go. Amen. This is on vacation. Mom and dad plan it. Oh, gosh, we can get into some tales about that. But as they get older, you got to let them do some things they want to do, right? Sometimes mama don't like that. Daddy could care less. He's just trying to keep the peace. Amen. Just try to keep the peace. I'll pay how much? Get the money out. But anyway, I asked Dallas, see if you can get us a tea time today. On Sunday, Pastor going to play golf on Sunday after church. Amen. I didn't put it before God. You don't think God likes to play golf on Sunday? Every day is a good day to God. Amen. He'll probably take some humor when I get on there because I ain't been on a golf course in years. But why do I want to go now? My sons are playing. I want to spend some time with them, Reed. God wants to spend some time with his kids. So they enjoy golf. Mary Hart does good like a mess, and there's probably going to be some laughing going on. I'm thinking they're going to be laughing because daddy's on the green, and they ain't. I'll be praying in tongues. Kato mosete. Hey, tongues of men and angels. Lord, I need some help here with this swing. I ain't going to be wearing this. I'm going to be loose. Have me a loose shirt on. Hey, I hit pretty good at the Top Golf, didn't I, Rowan? I might not hit it far. Now, Rowan, he can hit it far, but it might be far and wide. Y'all ever watched Facing the Giants? You ever seen that movie? It's a good one when that guy's trying to kick that football. They're trying to teach him how to be a kicker and kick it. And that coach says, now you can be far right or you can be far left. He said, but the thing of this thing is you want to hit it right down the middle. And then he brought it into a Bible verse. He said, there's a broad gate that leads to destruction. He said, but there's a narrow path that leads to life. Now kick this thing down that narrow path. They put Jesus into that training, and the boy got to where he could kick it, and he won a game for him. Why? He brought Jesus into the game. Let Jesus into your game, amen? Into your life, into your personal life, into your private life. Uh-oh. Don't let pastor in there unless you need to, but let God in there. Why? He won't expose it. Come on, he won't expose it. He'll bless it. He'll bless your life. That's his whole desire, is to bless you. That's his whole intention. And sometimes he likes to go undercover, give you little stories that'll only God knew that was in your heart. And the pastor, the person, won't know nothing about it. He'll give that person a word like he gave me about Mama. Mama, remember Anna? And see, it brought Mama into the Word of God. It brought her into that, the whole plan of God, life that God has for each one of us. He has great things for us to do. You might not be an Anna. You might not be a Billy Graham or a Franklin Graham. But you are a child of God, and you're important. Amen? See, we don't see the rest of the story, the whole picture. What we're going to do after this time, this season, this dispensation, when we have that 1,000-year reign, what are you going to do for God? Man, he's got a lot for us to do. Amen? So our opening, our theme is going to be based on, and I'll get you the scripture and verse for this. Rowan might have it, but Jesus said, if you have known me, you have known the Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. I'm showing you God today. We're going to show you his true nature. I'm going to have some experiences. We might have some other people in his church might want to say, hey, Pastor, I got a testimony. I got a praise report. Because that's what it takes. You know, I remember reading in a good book, it takes a village to raise a child. Talking about a community. In other words, when my kid goes out, Lord, and spends a night, I want the watchman on the wall. Amen. Not because I'm nosy. I want my kid to be safe. Who are you going to spend the night with? What's his name? What's her name? How long are you going to be out? These are questions you ask. Why? Because you love. You love your children. You love your wife. Amen? Well, they don't want to answer those questions. Well, if you don't want to ask her those questions, then I'm not going to drive you to this place because Daddy needs to know these answers. Amen? Because I'm accountable to God for you. Come on, I'm accountable to God. God's a lot bigger than you. Amen? And he loves you. So these are questions that we ask. Philip asked, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, how long have I been teaching you about the Father, Philip? 3 years, going on 3 years now, you've been coming to church. Wayne's been playing the music. Terry, the praise team, and Tammy, they've been singing to you. I've been preaching to you. And you're asking, show us Jesus? Show us Jesus? Thank you, brother. I had a pen, I'd jot it down, but that's okay. I can edit this paper. Thank you, Pastor. And he says, how long have I been with you? And yet you ask me, Philip. He that has seen me, Jesus says, you have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? There's some questions you just ain't worth asking. Amen. It's like it's right in front of you. Just like Pilate. The truth standing right in front of him. Pilate says, what is truth? Oh, man. If we'd be there, we'd say, how much time you got? Sit down, Pilate. Sit down. Jesus didn't have time to sit down anyway. He didn't have time. Jesus didn't have time. No, he was right on time. Jesus was right in the center of God's will, and it was time for him to go to the cross and be that sacrifice. And there was Jesus all that time before that, man, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was encouraged, he was prophesying, he was laying hands on the sick, he was doing all these mighty works. But now, a different time. It was his time to be the sacrifice. And everything he said, he backed up. If people know how good God is, they would love him and live for him. If we truly know how good God is, and this is our purpose, this is man's purpose, is to love him and worship him. that in turn would solve all the world's problems. Can I get a weak amen? God is smarter than we are. But God has been so slandered that most people don't know him as the good God that he really is. I'd say he's had a bad rap. We've given an opinion of God instead of the truth of who God really is. A lot of times it's because we haven't given him the time that he needs. See, God is not limited by time, but we are. And the amount of time that I can give to him will determine the amount of time that he can manifest and show himself to me. Amen? Moses cried, Lord, show me your goodness. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me, I want to see your glory. God knew that Moses couldn't see him as he was because he would not be. Moses would have to be changed into God's image. And he would have to leave this earth, leave his physical body to see God that way. But what he did, what God did do, he said, Moses, I'm going to put you. God actually took his hand. You don't think God has a hand? He actually took his hand, it says in the Old Testament, and he put his hand over Moses and he put him in the cleft of a rock. God did this, put his hand over and pushed him in the cleft of the rock, and God had his backside come by Moses. And says Moses saw his goodness. His hinder parts, that was the good parts. That's all Moses could see was the back parts. If God's back part is goodness and mercy, my God, what does he look like altogether? Altogether, this is the true nature of God, who he is. He was expressed in the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus. Everything that Jesus did, he did it out of love for you and for me. He died out of love for us so that we could live, Todd. Christ died so that I could live. But Christ lives forevermore. Amen. He's not dead. He's not dead. That's good news right there. God is not dead. Have you seen the movie? Part 1 and 2. Good movie to watch. God is not dead. You hadn't seen that video? We might have to get that and watch that here at the church. Be a good one to come together and watch. God is not dead. Even think about our insurance policies. They write acts of God. Be on your policy. But see, that's God's been slandered to think. Now, there were storms that God brought, and there was earthquakes that God brought. But what was the purpose? One was to get Jonah to go preach to the city of Nineveh, those old heathens out there that God knew needed to be repented and be born again. But Jonah didn't want to. If you read the story, why did Jonah not want to? Because he knew God would save those people. See, Jonah didn't want them people to get born. He didn't want them to live. Jonah was a prophet, and Jonah was messed up. Amen. He was not doing what God needed him to do. So God caused him to get a storm to come to stop the boat. Did anybody on that boat get killed, y'all know of? Even Jonah, where did he go? God sent a great fish. It might have been a whale, but the Bible says a great fish. We can look it up. Swallowed him up. The men threw him off the boat. They were going to kill him. God, see, man wants to kill. God wants to save life. God caused a fish because he knew those guys weren't going to save him. All they worried about was theirself. Fish swallowed him up. 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the belly of a stinking fish. You've seen the movie Jaws. You know what's in whales and sharks. Stinky stuff. Moldy, mildew, dark. This is what hell represents, hell, separated from God. It made him cry out to God. There's people in hell going to be crying out to God for night and day. And guess what? They're not going to go to Nineveh. They're not going to be spit out on the sea because this was an example that Christ died for us. He saved us from darkness. But there's coming a time to where man cannot be saved from their sin. You got to call on Jesus now. Believe on Jesus now. Amen? Now is the day of salvation. And see, God prepared that fish and took him and spit him out on the coast to get him back on his course. Go preach now what are you going to do, Jonah? I'm going to Nineveh. God changed. I tell you what, you spend 3 days in the bottom of a fish, it'll get you thinking, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. I don't want to be in a fish. I want to be at home in my bed. Be still. I know you, God. I know you, God. Because he's trying to save lives. Now, he might have to wake me. God's trying to wake us up. I prayed he'd wake Rowan up because Rowan spent the night last night. I said, I'll pick you up at 8:15. I'm going to see, Rowan, you let me down, so I'm going to talk a little bit about you this morning. 8:15, I'm calling, Wayne, I'm calling. No answer. 8:20, I'm in the car on my way, about 15 minutes away, calling, no answer. 8:25, I'm at the door. Don't know the parents personally, but I know they're good parents. I don't want to go to the door. I don't like to wake mom and daddy up. No answer. Daddy going to the door. Now, the devil said, just let him stay there, you know. You'll punish him later. You just need to get to church, Pastor. This is the devil. This is what the devil would do. No, it's time. Rowan made a bond with me. He said, I'll be up, Dad, and I'll be ready. I'm going to church. Because stay the night with a friend. Because we need help here. Rowan, he's a ministry that helps. He helps out. Amen? He's a blessing. He's helping. But he overslept. Now, I know what kids do. He probably didn't go to bed till 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. Probably playing video games. I've been there. I've done that. But this time, Daddy didn't just say, no, I'm going. And I went and I rang the doorbell, and I'm thinking Mom and Daddy are going to come. But here come Rowan and his buddy. Oh, yeah, he didn't want to get the parents up either, I'm sure, Sunday morning. They might be getting ready for church. I don't know. But I said, Rowan, if you tell somebody something, your word is your bond. I'm here today because God said, I prayed, Rowan, and I'm not sure if he was. I prayed. I said, Holy Ghost, wake him up out of his sleep right now because he wasn't answering the phone. That's a good prayer to pray. He can give you a dream. I've had it when I was going to school, man, or going to work. You're the guy that's got to open up. Your boss is on vacation, and I'm the assistant boss. And I got the keys. And I got to be there bright and early because I got to let other people in. And then I go out and drink that Saturday night, and I got to be early Sunday morning, let people in. I'm out drinking. I wake up. And I'm about 5 minutes, and I got to be there. And God didn't wake me up. I just woke up because I knew I was supposed to be there. Ever been there before? 5 minutes. I didn't look worth it. I threw something on, and I'm gone. So your word, you're important. You have the keys. See, other people are dependent on you. So it's important what you say. Your word. People's dependent on you, amen, to be there. And I got there. I had to apologize. I had to make amends. I won't do this again. You know that old flesh is okay for a little while, but it did it again. So I know I was a kid, but Daddy showed up, didn't he, Rowan? Daddy showed up, and we at church today, amen? And we're being a blessing. This is where it begins. This is where life begins, guys. It's hearing God's word that he loves you and he cares about you. Amen? He loves you and he cares about you. And this is where we get to learn about God. So this is our introduction. God has been slandered, talking about God's true nature, that most people don't know him as the good God that he really is. Will the real God, I heard somebody preach, will the real Jesus stand up? Because there's been so many people and things characterized to, would Jesus do that? Remember the bracelets. What would Jesus do? Well, we need to change them. What did he do? What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He loved people. Amen? He loved people. Another bracelet. What are you going to do for Jesus? What are you going to do? What did he do? Now, what are you going to do? Amen? He loves you. What do you want to do for him? Amen? The main thing he says is just spend time with him. Because as a pastor, I'm not looking if you're not here. I'm preaching to the ones that are here. And I'm going to give you all that I got to ones that are here. Now, I love the ones that ain't here. There's certain reasons they have excuses, but that's between them and God. I'm not going to call you on the phone and say, where you at? You wasn't there last Sunday. I'm not going to call you on the phone because it's got to be up to you. That's your free will choice. But I tell you, if you show up, I know God, he's going to show you something. He's going to reveal something to you, not only here, but when you leave here. Amen? I tell you what, he'll show up in your dream. You better wake up, Rowan. Your dad's on the way. The Holy Ghost will be saying, you better wake up. He's going to ring the doorbell in 5 minutes if you don't. That's what I was praying. I didn't want to ring that doorbell. I'll get the rest of the story of Rowan, how he felt about that. Because I know God. When me and Sherry got born again, we don't need clocks anymore. We prayed the Holy Ghost wake us up. What were we doing? We were building our faith. Lord, if he can do the little thing, he can do the great thing. Lord, wake me up at 7:30 or whatever time. I remember Sherry experimenting with it. He waited till the last click on the clock and woke her up and just showed her, I can wake you up at the last, right before the clock. He just showed how great he was. She's talking about minutes. He said, I'll wake you up 2 seconds before, and you open your eyes, and then they'll go off. He said, I'll wake you up. I tell you what, God do great things. If you step out of the boat, Peter, come and see. You want to see Jesus? Get out the boat. Get out of your boat. Amen. Get out of your boat. Your boat of comfort. Get out there where Jesus is. Get out there where Jesus is. I remember, I think one pastor said it, kind of said it like this. You want to know how good God is? You can't get the fruit of the tree if you're hanging on to the trunk. You got to get out there on the branch where the fruit is. I've climbed some trees in my life. That branch, it ain't as strong as that trunk. But Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branch. If you in Christ, man, you can get that fruit and the branch won't break. Amen. You can give somebody love and you're not going to suffer. Amen. A lot of times we think about, well, if I do this, see, you're thinking about your reputation. Man, forget about your reputation. You don't have no reputation anymore. You're in Christ. And if Jesus had a reputation, we'd be lost. If he did things because it was lovely to do, we'd be lost. Jesus would go to the bars. He would go to the nightclubs. If the Father said go there, he'd go there. And he would bring light, right? He would bring light. And he probably wouldn't minister to everybody. But if God said there's one person in that bar that knows they're not supposed to be there, but they're seeking me, Jesus would go. And he'd walk in there. Amen? And he'd go to that one person. So you got to balance this in grace and faith. Right? I'm not telling you to go out here to the bars unless God says go to the bar. And you're not going to the bar to drink. You're going to the bar to get somebody saved. Amen? I would love to see Daddy, somebody walk in. And they might have. Because I know God. I know he was after my dad. And I pray that he got born again. But I'd love to have somebody go in that bar and talk about Jesus to Daddy. Wake him out of that stupor. Say, don't you care? You got 4 kids at home that love you and want to spend some time with you. And you're out here with these so-called friends that all they want to do is get your money, get you drunk, and probably steal your money. Because I know it probably happened. Come on, guys. We're talking about the true nature of God. He loves you so much, he go after that one that's lost. The 99, they all right, but there's one out there that's lost. We know one. We know one person around us that knows needs to know Jesus. Ask God how I can be a creative witness to minister to them. Amen? Bring them to church. We're going to be talking about how good God is. I'll end with this. Anybody remember listening to Oral Roberts? He's in heaven now, but he had a great healing tent revival. He went around and he put a tent up. This is back when they put tents up. I wouldn't put a tent up in the summertime. We might do it in the fall or spring because it gets hot underneath them tents. Amen? And you know me, I like to be cool. But hey, if God say put a tent up, we're going to put a tent up. Right? We'd bring some big old fans in if we have to. But Oral Roberts were famous for this saying. He said, something good is going to happen to you today. And he was ridiculed for it. He was persecuted for it. He actually had the gall to say, something good's going to happen to you today, Wayne. He was prophesying something good. He knew how good God was, and he knew what God, he would tell you what God had did in his life. Saved him, I think he had tuberculosis. Oral had something, was it tuberculosis? And he wasn't going to make it. God healed him to heal others. Oral, we're not the healers. Jesus is a healer, but he had tent meetings and said, if you'll come to this tent, you'll hear the word, Jesus will heal you. How could he be so bold? Because Jesus healed him. And then he got into the word and said, now you go, do likewise. So if God calls you to a tent ministry, who am I to say? You better get your tent and get going, amen? What are you waiting on? Whatever God's called you to do. Now, first thing you're going to do is he's going to build a relationship with you. Remember, because that's the first, priorities first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's how God operates. And to know how a doctor operates, you got to go to, ask Kelsey, you got to go to a lot of school. Now, you ain't got to do all these things to get people to know God. You know what I mean? But to know God, you got to spend some time with him. Because I can get out here and do it on my own and mess it up. But I've did that before. There's zeal and then there's knowledge. We need both. A zeal for God, but then to know God is to love him. Amen. Knowing God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time this morning, Lord. We're getting into a season that we're going to be seeking you, seeking your true nature, Lord, understanding who you are. And, Lord, we thank you. It's already been revealed from heaven. You revealed it through the body of your son, Jesus. Lord, it was prophesied that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son. And the angels declared that he'll be called Jesus, for he will be sent to save people, God's people, from their sins. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for Mary. She chose and said, I will. When the angel said, will you? Brought that good word, said, you are this person. Mary said, so be it. Amen. Let it happen to me. And Jesus was conceived. Life began in her womb. The life that is the light of men, Jesus became, inhabited a body, and lived that sinless life. And Lord, because of his sacrifice, because of that sinless sacrifice, and him being the sacrifice, willingly, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That Jesus went to the cross, that we can come today, Lord, and preach this good news of hope, that if you'll come to Jesus, he'll come to you. And he'll take your life, and he'll make it new. And I believe if you've asked Jesus to do that, he'll do it. It's already done. And the Bible says, if you believe on him,